Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to your place. Tonight we're going to be taking a moment to remember our fallen servicemen and women. Yesterday was Memorial Day. On this show, we always want to take time to give tribute to the brave men and women who serve our country in the military, law enforcement, fire department, and rescue services. These people are willing to give their full measure of devotion to a job that can cost them their very life. Memorial Day is the day we give honor to those who paid the ultimate price of giving all they had to give. A true, full measure of devotion that can't be shown in any other way. It's our duty to remember those that are fallen. When we look at these people that serve in our life daily, we sometimes look at them with hate based on something we have heard in the news. Sometimes fear, based being on the wrong side of what is right. But when in need, we call them first to come to our aid. As people of faith, do you take the time to look in your local paper to see if anybody in your area has paid this price and reach out to the family? Take time to pray a covering over them. Go to a VA hospital and just say thank you for your service. Or volunteer to show gratitude for their service. We have enjoyed all the comments regarding our show on the presidential election process. It's so easy to judge policy and our political leaders when it comes to decisions that involve these brave men and women. We ask you tonight to put yourself under the same microscope and measure what you do compared to our leaders. As Jesus said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. How many stones have you cast at others while putting yourself on a judgment seat that you should not be sitting on regarding our service people? At the end of this show, you can say anything on this topic that you wish, as long as you do it with respect. You choose which speech you like the most. And now, Wild Bill.
Well, thank you, Starla, for getting us kicked off tonight. And we would also like to remember that we've had a lot of calls today. Blog Talk Mom is not doing too well, and she had to go to the hospital and that, and ask if you remember her in prayer. And also Sister Barbara in our church, her health is, you know, taking a downward turn, and she was sent home from the hospital today with hospice. And we know that God is more than able to come to our rescue at any time for any need, and can take care of whatever our needs are. And I'm so thankful that we have a God that we can go to, that he knows when we're hurt, he knows when we're sad, he knows the things that really bother us. Today, as I was going through looking to see what the different politicians had to say with Memorial Day, I saw that Hillary Clinton, she didn't have any comments. She did march in a parade and was there giving support to military. And Bernie Sanders didn't have a whole lot to say, but I was really touched by the comments that he had. And then Donald Trump had one of the most unusual speeches for Memorial Day that I believe I've ever heard in my life. But I've had a lot of people accuse me of being kind of not being fair to the Donald and the things we presented on Memorial Day. And then, you know, of course, the president, he always has to go to Arlington Cemetery as part of tradition and, you know, brings the things to us there as he, you know, puts the wreath there at the memorial and gives honor to our fallen troops. I was in here trying to think, who should I bring as first to show the most respect for Memorial Day? And since I was going to say ladies first, but since Hillary Clinton did not have a comment for today, let's see what Bernie Sanders had to say about Memorial Day.
So we are in a kind of sacred place. I like to keep away from politics. Today is not just a day for picnics and for ball games. It is a day to remember, and I say this as the former chair of the Senate Committee on Veterans Affairs, a day to remember the so many people who gave their lives to defend this country. And to also remember not only the sacrifices of those who never came back, but of their children and of their families who are grieving today. The cost of war is very, very real, not only in terms of death, but in terms of the kind of pain that the veterans carry with them who have come back. So today is a day to remember the sacrifices who gave their lives and of their families.
As you can see, it was less than a minute. Bernie Sanders didn't have a lot to say about Memorial Day, but he made it very clear it wasn't a time for politics. It was a time that he wanted to make clear that he wanted to just share that this was all about our military, for those that are fallen. And he was at the Arlington Cemetery when he was asked these questions. You could hear the music in the background. And as you know, he had his little presentation. As I shared at the beginning of the show, Hillary Clinton did not even make any sort of Memorial Day speech at all. But let's see what the Donald had to say. And I didn't play everything he had to say, but I didn't edit it either. So here you go.
Make America great again. Very simple. Make America great again. So in writing over, there are hundreds of thousands of people all along the highways and they can't get in. In other words, you're very good at real estate. You got in. Congratulations. Congratulations. It's a great way to spend a very, very important day. And you know what that day is. We have so many friends and so many family. And look, Memorial Day, so important. It's our day, and we have to be very proud of it, and we are very proud of it. And it's an honor to be with you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. So, Rolling Thunder, I will say, no matter where I go, Rolling Thunder, look at all these bikers. Do we love the bikers? Yes. We love the bikers. But all over the place, no matter where I go, there's bikers. And they come with the bikers, and the bikes are all over. We've had cases where we'd have, like, I'd make a speech, and we'd have 500 bikes. We'd have 1,000 bikes. And I said, what are they all doing here? And my people would say, they're here to protect you, Mr. Trump. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. And I want to tell you, some of these people are tough. And some of the guys I see on that bike, I'll tell you what, they're rough. And I get out, and I shake their hands, and they are, I'll tell you, there is love. There is love, and it's an incredible feeling. And that's why I wanted to be with you today, and I really appreciate being invited. Because we're with you 100%. We're with you 100%. 100%. Thank you. He just said, and we're with you 100%. Well, we're going to do some things that we can't have Hillary Clinton be our president. That I can tell you. That's all we need. That's all we need. And just so you know, and speaking of that, as you know, she wants to abolish the Second Amendment. Remember that. And we are going to protect our Second Amendment, every little inch of our Second Amendment. And the NRA, as you saw, the NRA just came out last week and they endorsed Donald Trump sooner than they've ever endorsed any candidate ever before. So that was an honor. And they are amazing people. Amazing people. So we have a lot of things that we have to straighten out in our country. Number one, we have to rebuild our military. It's been decimated. It's been decimated. When you think of the great General Patton and all of our great generals, they're spinning in their graves when they watch, we can't beat ISIS. We're going to beat ISIS. We're going to knock the hell out of them. We're going to end it. We're going to end it. Remember that. So we're going to rebuild our military. We're going to make it bigger and bigger and better and stronger than ever before. We have no choice. We have to do it. And by the way, it's the single cheapest thing we can do. Believe me. So we're going to rebuild our military, and we're going to take care of our veterans. Our veterans have been treated so badly in this country. You have a secretary that last week said, no, the wait time doesn't matter. Forget about wait time. I know people, and I've gotten to know so many vets, and we just raised almost $6 million for the vets because I didn't do a television show. I said, let's do this. And we're announcing on Tuesday all of the groups that we put up this money, and we raised this tremendous amount of money because we love the vets, and that's going to be announced on Tuesday. All of the groups that have gotten the money will be announced on Tuesday. We're having a big press conference, and it's going to be great, and it's going to be a great day. But we have to take care of our vets, and in many cases, illegal immigrants are taking much care, really, are taking much better care by this country, taken care of than our veterans. And that's not going to happen, okay? It's not going to happen. We're not going to allow that to happen any longer. Now, we have so many different cases, folks, where you look at what's going on in the border. When I announced on June 16th that I was running for president, by the way, who the hell would have thought this was going to happen, right? Right? Remember they said June 16th, I watched all these pundits. By the way, the press, liars. They're the worst. They are the worst. Lowlifes. These are some of the worst, most dishonest people. I actually had a story today. It was sort of interesting. Somebody wrote. But, you know, I have 73 people on my staff, and I won long ahead of schedule. You know, I was supposed to be going to Cleveland in July. and it was going to be a big fight, and they didn't know if I could win then. They were going to have even, they even talked about having a second convention in August, stuff that nobody ever even heard about. And look what happened. I'm one. We won. We. I'm just a messenger. But we won, and Hillary can't even beat Bernie. She can't beat him. And beating Bernie would not be tough, in all fairness. Although he is right about one thing, trade. Guy's right about trade. He can't do anything about it. But we do agree on one thing, trade. Our country is being ripped off so badly on trade. We're going to make the greatest trade deals you've ever seen. We're going to make our country rich again, strong again. It's going to be America first. Not all these other countries that don't even like us. It's going to be America first. We're going to be the smart country again. We're not going to be the dummies that the world takes advantage of. Even in our military, you've been seeing me. We defend so many countries. We defend Japan. We defend Germany. We defend Saudi Arabia. We defend South Korea. When the maniac in North Korea raises his head, we send our ships, our planes, we're all ready to go. But we're not properly taken care of, folks. And this isn't 40 years ago where we can do it. We're the highest tax nation in the world. By the way, my tax plan, we bring it down so much, especially for business and for the middle-income people. We bring the numbers down so low, lower than any other candidate running, even the ones that have already been vanquished. We have the lowest tax. We have a great plan. I don't care about the low. We have a great plan. It's going to put people back. They're going to want to have an incentive to go out and work and make a lot of money and have great jobs, and we don't have great jobs. If you look at the job, the unemployment rate, the real number is 20%, and it could be more than that, because people that look for jobs and give up, they're considered statistically employed. Folks, no more. We are going to create jobs. We're not going to let Mexico and all these other countries take our companies. They're taking our. You look at Carrier, you look at Nabisco, you look at Ford, hundreds of other companies, they're moving to Mexico, they're moving to other nations, they're moving to other nations, and our people are left jobless, and we don't manufacture things. I look, we just won the primary systems in New York, in Pennsylvania, in Maryland, all over, Maryland, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Delaware, everywhere. We had a big streak, and then Indiana. Oh, do we love Indiana. Because that was going to be the firewall for my opponents. And it turned out to be the firewall for me. We won in a landslide. Of course, I want to thank the great Bobby Knight. It's not bad when you have Bobby Knight, right? Bobby Knight in Indiana. So we're not going to let it happen anymore that a Carrier can announce very routinely 1,400 people you fired were moving to Mexico. They want to do that, and there are consequences. And I'll tell you what the consequences are. Every time they make an air conditioner, we're going to have strong borders. And by the way, we are going to have a wall, and I mean a real wall. We are going to have a wall. Who's going to pay for the wall? Not even a doubt, by the way. You know, Mexico, and I have no problem. I love Mexico. I love the Mexican people. So many of them, I do business with them. They work for me. I have thousands. They're phenomenal people. Their leaders are too smart for Obama and too smart for our leaders. Our leaders are selling us down the tubes. So when Carrier goes to Mexico, every time they make an air conditioning unit and try and sell it across our now very strong borders, you know what's going to happen? 35% tax. And you know what's going to happen then? They're not going to want to move. When they know that's going to happen, they're not moving because we're losing our guts. We're losing our companies. We're losing our jobs. We're losing manufacturing. We have leases where we actually pay rent. So it's going to be a whole different ballgame. And let me tell you, we are going to actually get along with these countries.
Well, okay, we had Hillary Clinton, which made no speech at all, but was there to march to show support for Memorial Day for our veterans. We had Bernie Sanders, who took less than a minute to let the press know that on that special place in the cemetery that it wasn't about politics, and it wasn't all about barbecues and picnics. It was about remembering those that had gave the full measure of devotion to our country. And then we have this. Now, I was sharing with someone just a second ago. I said, he sounds a little bit like Jimmy Durante. Ah-cha-cha-cha-cha. I got a million of them. It just seemed like it's all about him. It didn't seem like it was anything, you know, all this stuff he's talking about that he's going to do and how he's going to do it. And if you're a supporter of this type of nonsense type speech, then, you know, all I can say is that you have the right in this country to vote for whoever you want to vote for and to support whoever you want to support. And I know a lot of you have had a lot of derogatory things as people of faith to say about the president we have. And I'm not happy with everything that's happened in politics in our country either. But let's see what our president had to say about Memorial Day at Arlington Cemetery.
Please welcome the 44th President of the United States, Barack Obama. Thank you. Good morning. Secretary Carter, General Dunford, Mr. Hallinan, Major General Becker, members of our armed forces, veterans, and most of all our Gold Star families, I'm honored to be with you once again as we pay our respects as Americans to those who gave their lives for us all. Here at Arlington, the deafening sounds of combat have given way to the silence of these sacred hills. The chaos and confusion of battle has yielded to perfect, precise rows of peace. The Americans who rest here and their families, the best of us, those from whom we ask everything, ask of us today only one thing in return, that we remember them. If you look closely at the white markers that grace these hills, one thing you'll notice is that so many of the years, dates of birth and dates of death, are so close together. They belong to young Americans, those who never lived to be honored as veterans for their service, men who battled their own brothers in Civil War, those who fought as a band of brothers an ocean away, men and women who redefined heroism for a new generation. They are generals buried beside privates they led. Americans known as Dad or Mom. Some only known to God. Mr. Hallinan, a Marine who then watched over these grounds, has said, everyone here is someone's hero. Those who rest beneath this silence, not only here at Arlington, but at veteran cemeteries across our country and around the world, and all who still remain missing, they didn't speak the loudest about their patriotism. They let their actions do that. Whether they stood up in times of war, signed up in times of peace, or were called up by a draft board, they embodied the best of America. As Commander-in-Chief, I have no greater responsibility than leading our men and women in uniform. I have no more solemn obligation than sending them into harm's way. I think about this every time I approve an operation as president. Every time, as a husband and father, that I sign a condolence letter. Every time Michelle and I sit at the bedside of a wounded warrior, or grieve and hug members of a Gold Star family. Less than 1% of our nation wears the uniform. And so few Americans see this patriotism with their own eyes or know someone who exemplifies it. But every day there are American families who pray for the sound of a familiar voice when the phone rings, or the sound of a loved one's letter or email arriving. More than 1 million times in our history, it didn't come. And instead, a car pulled up to the house And there was a knock on the front door, and the sound of taps floated through a cemetery's trees. For us, the living, those of us who still have a voice, it is our responsibility, our obligation, to fill that silence with our love and our support and our gratitude, and not just with words, but with our actions. For truly remembering and truly honoring these fallen Americans means being there for their parents and their spouses and their children, like the boys and girls here today wearing red shirts and bearing photos of the fallen. Your moms and dads would be so proud of you, and we are too. Truly remembering means that after our fallen heroes gave everything to get their battle buddies home, we have to make sure our veterans get everything that they have earned, from good health care to a good job. And we have to do better. Our work is never done. We have to be there not only when we need them, but when they need us. 30 days before he would be laid to rest, a short walk from here, President Kennedy told us that a nation reveals itself not only by the people it produces, but by those it remembers. Not everyone will serve. Not everyone will visit this national sanctuary. But we remember our best in every corner of our country from which they came. We remember them by teaching our children at schools with fallen heroes' names, like Dory Miller Elementary in San Antonio, or being good neighbors in communities named after great generals like McPherson, Kansas, or when we walk down First Sergeant Bobby Mendez Way in Brooklyn, or drive across the Hoover Dam on a bridge that bears Pat Tillman's name. We revealed ourselves in our words and deeds, but also by the simple act of listening. My fellow Americans, day and every day, listen to the stories these Gold Star families and veterans have to tell. Ask about who he or she was, why they volunteered. Hear from those who loved them about what their smile looked like and their laugh sounded like and the dreams they had for their lives. Since we gathered here 1 year ago, more than 20 brave Americans have given their lives for the security of our people in Afghanistan. We pray for them all and for their families. In Iraq, in our fight against ISIL, 3 Americans have given their lives in combat on our behalf. And today I ask you to remember their stories as well. Charles Keating IV, Charlie, or Chuck, or C4, was born into a family of veterans, all American athletes and Olympians, even a gold medalist. So naturally, Charlie and the love of his life, Brooke, celebrated their anniversary on the 4th of July. She called him the huge goofball everybody wanted to be friends with, the adventurer who surfed and spearfished and planned to sail around the world. When the Twin Towers fell, he was in high school and he decided to enlist. Joined the SEALs because he told his friends it was the hardest thing to do. He deployed to Afghanistan and 3 times to Iraq, earning a Bronze Star for Valor. And earlier this month, while assisting local forces in Iraq who had come under attack, he gave his life. A few days later, one of his platoon mates sent Charlie's parents a letter from Iraq. "Please tell everyone Chuck saved a lot of lives today," it said. He left us with that big signature smile on his handsome face as always. Chuck was full of aloha, but was also a ferocious warrior. So today we honor Chief Special Warfare Officer Charles Keating IV. Louis Carden was the 6th of 7 children, a Californian with an infectious wit who always had a joke at the ready to help someone get through a tough time. When his siblings ran around the house as kids, his mom, Pat, would yell after them, "Watch that baby's safety margin." And today she realizes that what she was really doing was raising a Marine. As a teenager, he proudly signed up. Louis graduated high school on a Friday, 3 days later on Monday morning, the Marines came to pick him up. That was 10 years ago. One morning this March, a Marine knocked on his mother's door again. On his fifth tour at a fire base in Iraq, Louis gave his life while protecting the Marines under his command. Putting others before himself was what Louis did best. He chose to live in the barracks with his buddies, even when he could have taken a house off base. He volunteered to babysit for friends who needed a date night. He just earned a promotion to mentor his fellow Marines. When they brought Louis home, hundreds of strangers lined freeway overpasses in the streets of Southern California to salute him. And today we salute Staff Sergeant Louis Carden. Joshua Wheeler's sister says he was exactly what was right about this world. He came from nothing and he really made something of himself. As a kid, Josh was the one who made sure his brother and four half-sisters were dressed and fed and off to school. When there wasn't food in the cupboard, he grabbed his hunting rifle and came back with a deer for dinner. When his country needed him, he enlisted in the Army at age 19. He deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan 14 times, earned 11 Bronze Stars, 4 for valor. Last October, as ISIL terrorists prepared to execute 70 hostages, Josh and his fellow special ops went in and rescued them. Every single one walked free. "We were already dead," one of the hostages said. "Then God sent us a force from the sky." That force was the U.S. Army, including Josh Wheeler. Josh was the doting dad who wrote notes to his kids in the stacks of books he read. Flying home last summer to be with his wife Ashley, who was about to give birth, he scribbled one note in the novel he was reading, just to tell his unborn son he was on his way. Ashley Wheeler is with us here today, holding their 10-month-old son, David. Ashley says Josh's memory makes her think about how can she be a better citizen. And she hopes it's what other people think about too. Today, this husband and father rests here in Arlington in Section 60. And as Americans, we resolve to be better. Better people, better citizens, because of Master Sergeant Joshua Wheeler. You know, a nation reveals itself not only by the people it produces, but by those it remembers. We do so not just by hoisting a flag, but by lifting up our neighbors. Not just by pausing in silence, but by practicing in our own lives the ideals of opportunity and liberty and equality that they fought for. We can serve others and contribute to the causes they believed in. And above all, keep their stories alive so that one day when he grows up and thinks of his dad, an American like David Wheeler can tell them as well the stories of the lives that others gave for all of us. We are so proud of them. We are so grateful for their sacrifice. We are so thankful to those families of the fallen. May God bless our fallen and their families. May he bless all of you, and may he forever bless these United States of America.
Thank you. Eternal rest grant unto our beloved dead, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May they rest in peace. Bless us all, Lord. Bless us all across this land we call America with strength, wisdom, and courage. And may the sacrifice of so many who have died in service to our country and our world inspire us who remain to a renewed commitment to our nation and to our patriotic duty. Amen.
Well, I hope you found that informative. Of course, any of you could have went and watched it on the news or looked it up on YouTube to have heard the speech. It's, you know, so many times we seem to look at the negative in the things in our history and in our country that's going on now, and what we see as our future, and we hear a lot of fear from people talking about the things that are before us. And I'm not disagreeing with any of these things that people are saying. I know that it's so easy to lock in on the negative and just totally walk over the positive. We have brave men and women in our country that volunteered. They said that after 9/11, they had never had so many people volunteer for military service, knowing that they were going to go into harm's way, knowing that they were going to try to get even for what happened in our country, on our soil, on 9/11. Now, after the fact, we can look at all the politics of it and how that we actually went into the wrong country at the time of what we did, and there was no weapons of mass destruction. But putting all that behind us, look at the individuals who make up our United States military. Look at the individuals who make up the law enforcement community and fire departments and other rescue people that have those hard jobs that they have to do. And as Starler brought up at the beginning of the show, it's people that, depending on what you've seen on the news or something has happened bad at that time because of what one person has done, how it's so easy to judge everyone in that uniform and not look at them as individuals anymore. But yet, everything in our culture cries out for us to be treated as an individual, doesn't it? As people of faith, as Starler brought up at the beginning of the show, what do we do to show our appreciation of these people as we want to throw stones at our politicians for either their lack of actions or how we feel like if they failed in something in their duty and using our military? And it's so easy to go back and have plenty of time to tear bit by bit and piece by piece actions that have taken place in this country in combat and in different situations, where in a moment when something had to be decided and a choice had to be made, somebody said, yes, send in our troops. Someone had the courage to say, I think this is something that we have to respond to. And even though we can tear it apart, you know, in sections and paragraphs and words and however fine a point you want to make of it, in the leisure of our own homes, let's not forget these brave people who do the jobs. It's not that a lot of money in it. My son served in the military. I can't tell you what it felt like one night when he called me and he was in Iraq, and all of a sudden I heard mortar fire come into the background, and I could almost hear the concussion until it was closed through the telephone, and then the phone line went dead. The horror of not knowing that I just hear my son die in Iraq until I was able to hear from him again when he was able to call in and find out what happened. You know, it's so easy for us who have family that served in the military, when they come home, to be grateful they made it home and grateful to them for their service, but to really take stock and remember that not all families get that happy ending. Not all families have dad to come home or mom to come home. I will never forget when my son was deployed, when we were there, that there was a deputy sheriff that was there holding a baby that had to be 6 months old or less, and the mom was the one being deployed to Iraq. And you think, wow. And you see these families, and they're holding and hugging and crying, and they're trying to be brave for each other. And you think, wow, this is the best of what we have to offer in this country today. The people to stand up and say, yes, I will. And as the president mentioned, the dates between birth and death is so close together for these young people. It's not like this is, we send out our weary and distressed and destitute to go to represent us in these times of crisis. It's the best of what we have. And so, as I promised, anybody that has any comments they would like to add to our topic tonight, you're welcome to do so. And we want to mention again, Blog Talk Mom couldn't be with us. She was rushed to the hospital tonight, and remember her in your prayers. I think I have Joy Bells with me. I don't see a hand raised, but I'm going to ask her anyway. Did you have anything to add, Joy Bells?
Nope. I'm trying not to. Is it echoing? It's on speakerphone.
Nope. No, it's not echoing.
Nope, I don't have anything to add, but I think Barack said it all really well, President Obama, as it were.
Yeah, it was really distressing to realize that since last year when he had to go and give this speech that 20 more people have died in service to our country. And it's just, we take so many things for granted. And even with the Donald, and as much as his speech was aggravating me so much, it was all about him on Memorial Day, his achievements, what he's been able to do, the hundreds of people and the money he's raised, and all this different thing being politics. You had to really respect someone like Bernie Sanders, who is trying to be the underdog in this whole election process, keeping it to what it is. It's Memorial Day. He was in a graveyard to give honor to fallen military. He wasn't going to let it be about politics this day. Out of respect, he made a few comments, and that was it. And then you have the Donald over here. I thought, do we really want this guy to represent us to the rest of the world? I'm like, really, folks? I mean, yeah, it sounds really good to all of a sudden make all these other countries pay for this and pay for that, and we're going to, you know, embargo this and tax this, and yeah, wow. You know, it's just, it reminds me so much when you read in history about the Jews, when the Nazis were coming in and they were taking them off to concentration camps. And it amazes me when you read the history that there was actually Jews that worked for the Nazis and actually turned in their fellow brothers and sisters to the Germans. That blows my mind that for their freedom that they did this. And yet sometimes I think we need to consider the source of the people that we're listening to. Not that I'm trying to tell you who to vote for, because I'm not. Because, to be honest with you, the whole process this time has just sort of made me just, I don't know, sad to think of the choices that we have before us. I don't agree with any of them 100%. But that still is the way our process works in this country. And even though we have brave men and women that go and they fight and they stand for our country, and a lot of times we are the policemen of the world. And you think, why is that? But then who is going to do it? Why has it always been that the strong has taken up for the weak, or they don't? But when the strong does stand up for the weak, there's something more than just being heroic in the process. There's something that stands above when you put an accountability upon yourself that's really not yours, to go and sort of be your brother's keeper, even though it's not in your country and it doesn't have anything to do with your national interest. When you go into countries like Bosnia and you see all these people that are just being wiped off the face of the earth, and the United States says, enough, we're not going to tolerate this. When you have ruthless leaders that are going in and testing chemical weapons on their own people because they're of a different tribe or a different religious belief or something, and the United States stands up and says, no. Enough. You know, we can't allow this to happen. We're not going to watch this happen. And so if we want to judge our political leaders, as I said before, and we want to judge, you know, all these things of whether we should go to war or whether we should not, there's one key thing that we can do in all these situations. That's we can pray. We can pray for our leaders, that God grant them wisdom. And Lord, they need that. We can pray for our men and women in military for a prayer covering, but still in doing that, we understand that not everybody's always going to come home. That's the tragedy of war. It's just the beast of what it is. It's just part of the process that we all have to deal with. And then, as Starla was mentioning, what do we do? When's the last time you went to a VA hospital and walked through there and shook the soldiers' hands and said, hey, I am so glad that I can be here to thank you for the service that you gave our country? Is there something I can do? Could I read to you? Could I? Is there something I can? Can I get you a cold drink? You know, can I bring you a sandwich from outside the hospital? Is there something that I can do? Can I pray for you? You talk about something of wanting to put judgment on the things. What is it that we're doing as we're casting our stones against all the political process and when our military should be used and when it shouldn't? And I can understand, I was not happy when my son was deployed to Iraq and when they kept him longer than what he was supposed to be over there. And then they said, well, you won't have to go back again. Then he had to go back again. So I understand how you can be angry and the fear and those things that can be there when you have to look at these things with our military. I understand that. I was a father who felt those things. And as he told me of friends that he had that didn't get to come home, and how around Memorial Day, he seems to always still go into the Mullah Grubs, and he still can quote the names and the rank of each of the people that were close to him that he lost over there. And he can still tell you stories about them because it becomes all fresh again in his life. It's one of those things that he'll never forget, the fallen that he served with that didn't make it home. It's part of who he is now. Those people became a part of him in that process. To serve together in military or in law enforcement, a lot of people don't realize there's a brotherhood there. It's like a family. You may not agree with everybody in your family, but you let someone outside the family come in and we'll try to, you know, come against your brother or your sister or your aunt or uncle, and all of a sudden, like, we can fight amongst ourselves, but no, we're not going to put up with this. And that's the same thing that happens in law enforcement and military. It's a brotherhood that's there. Right or wrong, it's a brotherhood. And you stand up for each other. They become part of who you are. And trust me, when I was in law enforcement, there was a lot of backbiting in the group. And when I was in the military, it was the same thing. But there again, there's something about men that train together, that have a job to do, to understand that their life could be ended with little or no notice. I'm proud to be an American. When I listen to the speeches and things of Memorial Day and I hear the bravery of these people, I can't imagine being in the military for 10 years and how many trips that one sergeant made that he's no longer coming home. That they were sitting there sharing about how many medals he won, and yet he still stayed in and continued doing the job that most of us wouldn't want to do. Is there anybody else that has a comment or anything that they'd like to add? All you have to do is push 1 on your phone, and we'll identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number. Looks like I see a hand here. 0013.
Well, hello, Wild Bill.
Hello, Starla.
It was really, as I listened to the speeches, well, Donald Trump sounds like a campaign speech. I don't think he had Memorial Day on his mind at all. And Bernie Sanders, I was impressed with his, and the president's speech. That was really touching, heartwarming, and I really felt like it gave honor where honor was due. It was really, I was impressed. It was really good.
Yeah, it wasn't one of those long, drawn-out things, and you know, he had made some comments on some other before he got there that this would be his last Memorial Day. And, you know, he had shared before about the number of people that we've lost 20 troops since Memorial Day last year. That's so much better than the hundreds we were losing there for a while. But, man, that's 20 families that have been affected by representing this country. I don't know about you guys, but that stirs my heart. Does it, you, Starla?
Yes, yes. Anytime that we lose, you know, the people who serve, it is a tragedy. And I believe that we should reach out to these and give them honor and their families. I mean, they gave everything that they had to give, and their families did too, right along with them. I can't imagine losing somebody I love in a war or any other thing, but in a war, that would be so hard. But at the same time, you would feel such pride that they did serve.
Yeah, the one thing that no one ever mentions out of any of this is the fact that these people don't become wealthy. They serve in the military, law enforcement, firefighters, rescue services, the Coast Guard. None of these people make a lot of money. Even an officer, a college graduate in the United States military, they do fairly well, but it's still the majority of people in service don't do that. They live in poverty level, if you really stop and look at it. And then I love how the president made it real clear that he wouldn't make any excuses. You know, we try to remember to take care of them, not just when they go and be thankful, but when they come home. And he says, we fall short there. There's still so much more we need to do. We'll never truly treat them as they deserve to be treated. And that's one of those things that really touched me, because I can remember when I used to go to the VA hospitals. And I would go, and there might be someone there with their eyes wrapped in bandages and they couldn't read. And there would be a book there where different people would come and read to them. And I would ask if I could read to them. And they so enjoyed that. And then, you know, ask to hear their story, what happened, and let them know that they matter. They're not just someone laying in a hospital bed that no longer can see or may not ever be able to see again or has lost limbs or something like that. They're people. They're individuals. And they need to know that we appreciate them, that we care for them. But as people of faith, it's so easy to want to place blame on everybody else. They shouldn't have been sent. We don't agree with the politics, you know, just whatever. I'm an objectionable believer. I think I made up a word here. I don't think that's what that is. What is it, Starla?
Conscientious
objector. I'm just making up stuff now. But, you know, whatever our belief is, these people still served. They still represent us, our country. You know, right or wrong, the military people should not be the ones that have to fight that battle again once they come back home. And I'm so glad that all the politicians are talking about trying to make things better within the VA. And I've been listening to some of the many talk shows on this, and some of the things that's going on is so much their medical care, the level of training that their people have for medical care is second to none. Mayo Clinic has said that some of the things they're doing with these people who's lost arms and legs with this new prosthetics that they're putting on and the physical therapy, how intense it is, that it puts any other medical facility to shame. The waiting list thing, that's bad for people who have served in the United States military and they're having a way to get in. But what they're not sharing with us on this is a lot of these people are military that served in Vietnam era that are still having health issues, and they still have medical coverage under VA benefits, and they're having to go in and hit waiting lists. They're not really talking about frontline military people that need medical care. They're not the one that's on the waiting list. It's so funny how we never seem to get the whole story on everything of what's going on, unless you really want to dig after it. It's so easy just to want to take the little sound bites we get here and there, like, man, 7 days for medical treatment. They don't mention this is someone that's been retired for 15 years, you know, that's having, you know, some problems, and they're going to a doctor to try to get treated. I went to try to go see my medical doctor, and they were telling me that, I don't remember how long it's, I think it was like 4 to 5 weeks for me to get in. And, you know, we're not talking about a VA. We're talking about the doctor that I picked that does my primary medical care. That's how long it's going to take them to be able to treat me. So, I mean, some of these things are just part of the nature of the beast in this country right now. And I don't know. I do think that it's important that we don't let holidays like Memorial Day go by and just it's a day off work, and we don't take time to actually look into a little bit what's actually going on. And you know, I don't think that we can claim ignorance and put our head in the sand, and that's okay anymore. With the Internet, the availability to look through and see what's true and what's not true. They got these different websites that, that go through and let you know, hey, this is not factual. You can look at these different things here. The actual websites that the VA has set up, I was amazed at the information I got off of that about how many people that's actually treated a day and how small the staff is compared to how many patients that they're actually treating. And the VA hospital system is all across the United States of America. And if they don't have specialized care in your state, you can actually go to a specialist in your state that's not part of the VA program. And none of these things are ever mentioned. It's just, it's so amazing to me how we can think we know something. And the dangerous part of this is that people that are smart, when they hear people of faith say these things that have to do with soundbite mentality, they're either going to think one of two things. Either you're a liar or you're ignorant. Because we speak of these things and we repeat things, and we're doing the same thing with the Bible. We're taking so many scriptures. I've been amazed of late how I've been reading things through the Bible, and I've heard the same sermon preached on the same scripture over and over, and you read the scripture, and you read the scriptures following it, and that wasn't what was actually happening there at all. It's so easy to take one sentence and just make this huge message off of it, and it's a message that's very uplifting and makes you feel good, but it's not in context to the rest of the Bible. And I thought, you know, how much of our life has gotten to where it's just so much out of context to what it's supposed to be? Do you ever think about that, Starla? Do you ever worry about the context of your life and to what reality is, that we're so locked into ourselves that we're missing the big picture?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do, all the time. I mean, it's just like we live in our tiny little bubble, and we, you know, we seldom really take the time to reach out. And as a Christian, you know, that is a sad fact. And I don't know, I think it is something that we really, as Christians, we should be doing. We should be doing a lot of.
I agree. And then again, what is worse, to sit there and get all stirred up on Memorial Day and talk about it and not do anything, or to just not talk about it at all? The balance of all this is just mind-blowing sometimes. But as an individual, before we start throwing stones at anybody else, I think we should take a really good look at our life and see what are we doing to be a help to others around us. Are we that salt? Are we that light? Or are we just in our own little bubble, like Starla said, and just me, myself, and I, as long as I'm happy and everything's going good my way, that's all there is to it. And I want to say again, I'm not telling you who to vote for in the election process. I just was so, I've had a lot of people make comments about that I wasn't bringing up any of the things that the Donald was saying. And I thought, okay, well, you know, he made a speech and it was fairly long here, and I'm going to bring part of that or all of it, you know, to the show tonight. And the more I listened, the more I realized just how much I pray that our country has not gotten into so much into just something that stirs up and says something different than everybody else. It's going to be the best because it's different. I pray that we've not become that people as a majority, that we look and just somebody stands up, appears to be successful. And, you know, here he is, he's got this motorcycle group, which that's not a motorcycle gang. Those are veterans of military service that has this motorcycle group that's been traveling around supporting him, and he's been, you know, really using them in a lot of his, you know, speeches and things, and actually makes jokes about it being his personal security. He did again in the speech there today. But really, the tone of what he had to say, I guess really, in all fairness, you hit it on the head, Starla, when you said it was a political speech. It wasn't a Memorial Day remembrance type thing. He decided to take Memorial Day and make a political speech out of it, bragging about himself and his accomplishments and what he's been able to do. So it's and there again, he's not your normal politician, so if that's what floats your boat. But it scares me a little bit to think it just because something is different, that we want to think it's better. It reminds me of the cow that's got its head stuck in the barbed wire because it thought the grass was greener on the other side, when without going through all that strain and getting cut and hung and having to wait for somebody to come get it loose, the grass was fine just right there where they were. So And again, I know a lot of people, they hate our president. They think that he's the devil incarnate. But at least when he speaks, he says the right things. At least when he gives tribute to fallen military, there's no doubt he's giving tribute to fallen military. And anyone that heard that speech all over the world, they realize that that's what he was saying. And yet, Donald Trump was sitting here naming off all these different countries, and I didn't play it all. He's talking about China and Japan and, you know, making them pay for things, and you know, it's tough business, but he's a tough businessman. And I thought, yeah, but how many times have you filed bankruptcy? You know, the country can't afford. What is he going to do? Is he going to put us in there if it don't work? Does the country's going to file bankruptcy? You know, I don't know. I guess I am sort of taking sides here, and I didn't really mean to. Does anyone else have a comment? I see we got a couple more people on here. All I got to do is push one on your phone. Did you have anything else, Starla?
No, I think that about covered it. I thought it was a very good, you know, you played every side that was available.
Yeah. Well, I hope so. I feel like, you know, that I do seem to be a little bit more biased. I just was disappointed. I expected more from Donald Trump for Memorial Day than what I got. And, you know, I've noticed that his speeches have been cleaning up a little bit. He's definitely got this one religious organization that's really got him going in certain areas to make it more clear where he stands on certain issues and things, where it's totally changed his viewpoint from things because he supported the other side of it before. But still, at least he was saying the right things. You know, when you're the face of something, you can't always represent. When you represent a business or you represent a church or you represent even your family, it can't always be your viewpoint. You have to do what's best for the family or what you're representing. And so I thought, man, you know, maybe, you know, if he does win, becomes the president, he is one of those that can be moldable, and he understands the importance of, you know, listening, and he's showing his speeches have become more gentle and more, you know, focused on the things that, you know, people of faith would care about. And then this here just totally blew me away. So, well, I don't see anyone else raising up their hand, and we've been over an hour, but I just want to ask everyone to listen to continue to pray for Blog Talk Mom. She wasn't able to be with us today. She had a real move of God this morning and said she felt better than she felt in years, and this, you know, all of a sudden tonight things took a turn for the worse, and so she had to go to the hospital. So continue to remember her. And I want to thank all of you that take the time to listen to the show, those that listen live and those from the archives. Thank you so much for those of you that send comments, even the ones that disagree with me. I really appreciate that. I really wish you could come on a live show because we'd let you share, you know, your viewpoints on things, because we know that we're not experts. I'm not by any means have a doctorate on things that have to do with our economy or anything that has to do with government and what we see in this day and time. I know things have strayed far from where it was in the beginning. And next week is what we're going to bring to you. We're going to bring back a little piece of looking at history and having to do with jurisdiction in our government. And I hope you find that as informative as we wanted to be. We had another one we wanted to bring you, but somehow it got away from us, and we're going to try to locate that one again. But we're going to bring you several things looking at the true history of our government, how it came about, and what a huge part of that faith and a relationship with God had to do with all that. So when you look at separation of church and state, you understand what it really means compared to what they're telling you it means today. So God bless each and every one of you. We pray that you have a blessed night, and we'll be back here next week at your place. So good night, everybody.